We're excited to announce that our very own podcasting platform, Zencastr, has become a new sponsor to the show. Check out the podcast discount link in our show notes and stay tuned for why we love using Zen for the podcast.
You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Archaeology Show. TAS goes behind the headlines to bring you the real stories about archaeology and the history around us. Welcome to the podcast. Hey, welcome to the Archaeology Show. What you're about to listen to is a replay of the You Call This Archaeology live stream that we do on the ArcPodNet Facebook page, plus on Richie Cruz's Happy Archaeology Fun Time YouTube channel and website of the same name. So go check those out. And in the meantime, here is the replay of the live recording we did on December 15th, 2019. Enjoy. All right, hey, everybody. It's Richie's logging into Facebook.
Oh, cool.
How's it going?
Yeah, and now I'm monitoring comments.
There you go. All right.
Well, oh, cool. I'm even logging in as my alternate ego. Oh, wow. We've been going for 10 minutes already?
Well, the pre-show.
Ah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because so, I've had the music going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. How's it going on this cold Sunday, maybe snowy.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're at. We woke up to a little bit of snow this morning. We were at a party last night, actually.
Really?
And then walked out into snow. And
oh,
then we
yeah.
got down to here and it wasn't snowing at all. I guess it snowed here later, but yeah, that was up in Stead.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, my God. I remember, wasn't Stead like the only place there was a Steak and Shake like forever? Right near the Walmart there. On
yeah,
the freeway?
I think that was the first one in the area. Now there's that one down south too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is weird since I don't like Steak and Shake and I've never been there.
We went there once. My wife liked it because it was. It's not like we go there all the time. It's like a 9,000 calorie meal, but she liked it because she used to go there. You know, in the south.
Oh my God,
big down there.
I just had an inspiration. Yeah. When do you think Steak and Shake is going to do its own chicken sandwich?
God, I don't even want to talk about that. So, yeah, indeed. Well, let's talk about some non-archaeology.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, my God. Well, I should have been. I originally watched it, the rain starting. Mm-hmm. The thing is, last night I was trying to get all my audio set up. So that actually works because I got all the video and everything set up and I got all my OBS overlays working.
Yeah.
And I got it so that it recorded properly. And now it even, I realized what it was when I was recording in OBS. Sometimes mm-hmm. I would record a video because I thought, oh, it's faster, more efficient. Mm-hmm. And my audio and video were not syncing. And I realized what it was. The laptop I was using doesn't have enough horsepower.
Ah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and so I got my, unfortunately, damn, my really nice desktop mic. That's what it was bugging. Because for about 11 to about 5 this morning, when I finally gave up, I realized there's just some kind of weird RF interference. Like you can hear the fans pulsing through mm-hmm. the audio.
Yeah.
Which is so weird, because, you know, obviously, you know that sometimes audio is a weird alchemy.
I do, indeed. I've worked really hard to reduce audio artifacts into my thing. The best thing I've done is I stopped using the computer at all to record. I record onto this device now.
Yeah.
So, you know, that takes the computer is usually the source of most of your audio troubles. It's either that or crossing high power power cords with your audio cords. That'll also induce a noise. But luckily, the only thing that this thing ever sees is the power cord from the mixer, and the mixer's power cord is not very thick or powerful.
Woo!
So it doesn't seem to have an effect on it.
Oh, wait. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I almost thought, wait a second. I don't see myself again.
Yep.
It's like, I can watch this whole show.
I know. Turn you down a little bit, actually.
Oh, it's interesting. I know I should talk about this off air, but let's talk about it on air.
That means it's going to be fascinating, folks.
Sort of. Well, it depends. You know, remember I was talking about that show, kind of like, you know, that new show I wanted to do where we watch another video on YouTube and then we summarize and critique it.
Yes.
And I was realizing I need like an episode zero so I can show people what it's like.
Sure.
Yeah. Feel like doing it?
We could. Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to talk about it.
Yeah.
See what's going on there.
I mean, I'd have to, you know, because originally
your YouTube account verified.
That too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be a live stream. It would just be like me recording it because I don't want necessarily, because I don't want them to like, obviously us watching a video in lifetime is not very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you're basically talking reaction videos.
Yeah.
You know.
Except, you know, I feel like a lot of, you know, a lot of people who are looking for archaeological content or producing it on YouTube are either students or amateurs. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, I mean, obviously we could be part of the Illuminati and this might be part of our bid to like cover things up. But I feel like, you know, because I'd like, you know, I'd love to get someone like, you know, like some of the people who used to be in Archie Fantasies to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And now that OBS, now, goddamn, it's going to be interesting. I might have to hook up two computers, but now that I can, you know, now that OBS is fixed, because before when I would do OBS Remember, the last time I did that was with you and you couldn't see me.
Mm-hmm.
And now OBS has improved to the point where it sends itself out as a webcam source.
Nice.
So like if you go on Skype, they'll be able to see the whole OBS overlay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, which I did not know about until I was fooling around with it last night.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, cool. Yeah. Let's talk about some stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the street outside for one, just a few minutes. Because the other day, like Friday, I was looking out my window,
mm-hmm.
and I realized... Because people might not realize it, but Virginia, which is the main street, is like what? How many blocks down is that?
Just a couple.
Yeah, it's like a couple blocks down is like under serious heavy construction. And so a lot of people have been diverted to this street, which is Plumas. And so I was looking at traffic right around maybe one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic was backed up from this light all the way to my apartment.
Like and this afternoon?
No, Friday.
Oh.
And beyond. I'm like, God damn, how far down is that?
Yeah, it's a real pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also makes me, wow, it's like I would not drive on the street in the afternoon anymore. I'm not sure about you.
I mean, I have to sometimes because this is where my office is. But usually when I bike, it's not a problem. So
yeah,
not too concerned with it.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, it's progress. It's got to happen.
Sorry, I only bring that up just because it's like, wow, it's just like completely amazed.
Yeah.
It's like, my God.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Also, we need a burger. We also need more places that stay open on Sunday.
Yeah. That would be nice, too. Yeah, indeed.
Because I want to get a burger.
Yeah.
And there's, like, only places that serve a burger, like a bar. And
right.
They're very good, but then it's not quite what I want.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because I feel guilty about not ordering a beer at a bar.
Right. Let's switch topics.
I know.
So we don't lose all of the people that are listening, because literally none of them live in Reno.
I know.
I mean, I know we call this, you call this archaeology, but it is... on the Archaeology Podcast Network, and today solely on the Archaeology Podcast Network. If you came over here because you're looking for Richie's YouTube channel, there was a little bit of a snafu logging in, so
yeah,
it's not going to be on YouTube today.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. I don't know why. Maybe someone out there can answer it for me, but I had to be verified, which is so weird.
Yeah.
I didn't even, like, I don't even, like, my channel has officially been demonetized since I don't meet the criteria for being paid anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, why do I have to be verified?
You know, that's an interesting thing, too. Since this is a video production here, it's worthy to talk about this, but somebody I know posted I think it was a YouTube video, actually, a link to a YouTube video about a guy talking about the new YouTube terms and conditions coming in 2020, or they're supposed to go into effect, I don't know, middle of this month, or maybe they already have, I don't even know. But any one of the things in there, she was basically saying, like, screw you, YouTube, because YouTube is going to take off all content from YouTube that is not monetizable. And
wait,
I was like,
wait, really?
I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because they have unmonetized accounts, but she's basically saying that the video she watched, the interpretation this guy had of the new terms and conditions in YouTube, basically says that if it's not monetizable, which means YouTube can't put ads on it, whether you're getting paid or not, then it's going to remove it from YouTube, remove it from your library. And I was like, that is some fear-mongering bullshit there. Because I went and looked at the YouTube terms and service agreement, and the minute you log into the back end of YouTube, you see this whole thing that says, here's what's coming up in our new terms of service. Like, here's what the changes are.
Ooh.
And you go down and look at the paragraph that this guy is referring to, and it says nothing to that effect at all. It says that it could remove, it says they could, and there was a version of this in there before, but it's always been there because YouTube is a for-profit company and they have a certain responsibility to their users. But It said they will remove content that is goes against the terms and service of the platform. So if you're putting up, like, I don't know, violent or sensitive content or something like that, or something that violates their regulations, then they'll remove it.
Oh, although sometimes it's not. Sometimes they're not very intelligent about that.
Well, true. I mean, they've got thousands of videos being uploaded a day and very few humans looking at it. So they've got computers trying to figure that out. Usually, I think they rely on people to complain about the video.
Yeah.
Then they go look at it. But the point is, this woman thought that the YouTube was going to go into your back catalog of videos you have uploaded and start deleting them and just start removing them without telling you. This would be the notice that they're telling you right here. And she's like, screw you, YouTube. Now I got to go find a place to host all my content that I've uploaded for the past few years. And I'm like, really? That's your reaction to this? You're going to start doing that? And I'm like, then she said in the comments when we were discussing it, me and a few other people, she said, oh, and there's no way to actually download my stuff from YouTube, so I guess it's all just lost. And I literally went into YouTube account right there and saw the download button next to my own videos. You can always get your own videos off of YouTube.
Yeah.
It's just, I think the point here is, is healthy skepticism and critical thinking are not bad things. You know?
Well, they are apparently in this age. Well, otherwise, we would have a different president.
I know.
It's also, you know, that leads me into something else.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, all social media is social media, but LinkedIn is like more professional.
Yes.
So you should, I unfollowed someone who I added recently because he was like liking all these, he's an archaeologist. I've never met him, but he was liking all these various, very interesting posts. It actually was really interesting learning some of what, the president's more devoted fans, I'll say, think.
Yeah.
Like one of the articles this person liked, basically the gist of the article was that people who are leftist or centrist, like they don't really care about roads or schools or anything. It's all lies. All they really want to do is take away your guns. That's really what they're doing. Yeah. Like, and the only thing, you know, and you know, that and making everyone people call themselves they.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is really weird. This is like, this is not the sort of thing you should be following on, this is not the sort of thing you should be liking on LinkedIn.
Right. Right. I agree.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick. Yeah. We've had Chuck Hutchison on since the beginning. He follows us almost every time we come on, which is great, as long as it's on a Sunday. Christian LaRosa from the East Coast. Carl Fegans joined us. He hasn't been on in a while. And then Eliza Gale. How's it going, Eliza? I don't know if I've seen you on here in a while, so welcome. And then Chuck is responding to the YouTube video comment. He says, I think it means that they can't put ads on videos that probably won't have the ability to get advertisements, like videos of clubbing baby seals. My reading of it is they're not restricting videos that they can't monetize necessarily. They're restricting videos that that go against they could remove videos that go against, again, their terms of service, you know, and are violating human rights and things like that. But it doesn't seem like, I mean, there's a lot of videos that aren't necessarily monetizable, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what a single thing is that they wouldn't put an ad on. I've never watched a YouTube video that didn't have an ad on it.
Or at least, you know, two or three.
Yeah, totally. Of course, I don't have YouTube Red. I assume those don't have ads on them. And literally every time I log in, I'm asked to join Red. And I'm like, no.
Yes.
I don't need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm not that much of a YouTube user. Although, as an archaeologist.
Yeah.
I use weather apps a lot. I'm sure most archaeologists do, especially when they're working in the field.
Yeah.
One of my standbys, only because they, they use NOAA weather data. They're easy to navigate. I like them. But it's just the Weather Channel app, weather.com, you know, their app. And my God, have they gotten annoying in the last month or two? Because they finally came out with a premium service, and I think it's $10 a year for it to basically remove all the ads.
Yeah.
But when they did that, they did two things. One, there's now a screen that shows up every single time I log into the app or turn it on that says, hey, join our paid plan, you know, and I have to X that away. And then there's ads literally everywhere. There's ads on the radar screen. There's ads all over the place. And it's actually hard not to accidentally click on ads sometimes. There's so many ads. So they're basically forcing you into buying their annual thing, which I hate to admit, I'm probably going to do. I mean, I check that app probably once or twice a day.
Interesting, because I use a different app. I use Lightning Tracker Pro, which, in spite of the name, also has lifetime radar.
The Pro indicates that you also paid for it.
Yes, yeah, so a one-time fee, though.
One-time fee, yeah.
Yeah, because some of these apps definitely have really irritating subscriptions, like, like what is it, Adobe?
Yeah.
Like, my God, just thinking about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed, inherently opposed to subscriptions. I think people should be paid continuously for the content that they produce. I think the one-time payment thing is kind of a death knell for most people who don't, most applications are something that don't have a lot of users.
Yeah.
Because if you sort of max out your niche group or whatever that is, they're going to stop paying you, right? Because it was a one-time payment.
The thing is, you know, even for bigger companies, you know, people, because you're like, you're looking for alternatives to Adobe apps and you think you found some.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure if you want to talk about them on air. They might be a little too geeky.
Hey, real quick, though, but Eliza says, hey, what's up? She said she finally got a notification we were streaming. Yeah, the Facebook algorithm is a little funky. But I've been sharing the fact that we're streaming to a lot of different groups. So hopefully people are available on one of those groups and they get the notification that we're streaming. And then she says she marked all her videos not for kids. Otherwise, didn't have to worry about the changes on YouTube. Don Grinda, who I haven't seen on here before, says here for a few minutes. Well, thanks, Don.
You must be looking at something else because I was looking just at... Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you got to scroll.
Well, no, I was looking at Archaeo Field Techs.
Oh, I see.
Interesting. And unfortunately, at least when I'm looking at it on here, it doesn't show me the damn comments.
You might have to go to the APN page to see all the comments. Yeah,
I'm there.
They're all coming into the regular page. Anyway, I'm all for subscription services, and I'm not saying that just because the APN has a subscription service. Although I will point out, we've had a...
We've had a
fairly constant stream of unsubscribes from the APN paid members. Yeah. Now, the thing is, we've also had a fairly steady stream of new subscribers as well.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, you know, evening each other out.
Yeah.
But I love seeing the reasons why people unsubscribe, because the system asks for a reason.
Oh, it does?
And there's various reasons, and I'm not going to get into... Most people have, you know, pretty solid reasons. They just... Yeah. They either can't afford it anymore or something like that.
Yeah.
But when I see reasons like this one that sent an unsubscribe message this morning, and I have a chance to respond because they don't actually unsubscribe for like 5 days.
Yeah.
Or probably till the end of the month or whatever their resubscription is.
Yeah.
But there's one person who, A... she never responded to me when I asked for clarity on her address, because we ask for an address because we do send you stuff when you sign up to be a member. Well, a lot of people, even though I have very clear language in there that says I need a complete address because we're mailing you things, they'll put in like 325 North Street. Done. Like, where in the world is this? Is that a complete address? What are you afraid of here? I'm going to actually send you free things. But anyway, so I asked her for the address on email that she gave to us. I added her to Slack because she was at the member where she came onto at the level where she came onto our Slack team.
Yeah.
And nothing. Nothing. And then I see the unsubscribe message from her this morning. This is 6 months after she signed up.
Yeah.
And I've still got her letter sitting upstairs on my desk to mail her, but nowhere to mail it to.
Oh.
And she said, well, I just don't get a chance to listen as much as I used to. And I'm like,
all right.
I'm like, yeah, that's great, but you're paying $5 a month to help promote archaeological education and outreach.
True.
And the efforts here at the APN. I mean, I get it if you say $5 a month is too much for you right now. That makes sense. It is sometimes.
Yeah.
But saying that you don't listen very much anymore, I'm like, yeah, but do you still approve of what we're doing here? I mean, it's just, again, I just want to say it's interesting some of the reasons people choose for unsubscribing. Chuck is like, it's Christmas. Yeah, I know, Chuck. Christmas is an expensive time. Trust me. My wife and I were on buying stuff for our Secret Santa people over in North Carolina. The whole family goes into this thing. There's a budget.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get one person rather than a bunch of people to buy for.
Yeah.
And But still, you have to buy stuff, you know, and there's a $150 limit for each person. You know, so anyway, I get it. It's Christmas. I'm really just talking not about the time frame of people unsubscribing right now. We see this throughout the year. Because throughout the year, we get, you know, every month we get several new signups, and every month we get maybe one or two people that unsubscribe for various reasons. And
so is it growing overall?
Growing slowly, not as much as I'd like it to, because we have a lot of people we want to pay for. We have a lot of things we want to do, and we just can't do it without funds.
Yeah.
Right now, the APN's bringing in If I had to guess, I think last month was like $350. And that's that. I think that was actual recurring subscription, because sometimes it's way more, because some people will buy like the annual pro, which is $168 one-time fee.
Yeah.
Rather than doing it $20 a month, you save 30% if you get the annual one.
Interesting. Does that include merch?
They all include merch.
No, I meant the, you know, $350. Does that include merch sales or anything?
Oh, no, that's just member subscription sales.
Interesting.
Yeah, we're not making a whole ton of money on merch through our TeePublic store. We're maybe making, I don't know how many sales this equates to, because we only get a few percent of each sale.
Yeah.
But we're getting anywhere from $10 to $20 a month in our cut of merch sales. I don't know. Maybe we just need new designs. Maybe we're not promoting it well enough. I'm not really sure what the deal is there.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'd like to see more people buying stuff over there, only to, you know, help advertise the APN. But a lot of our designs, the APN, the fact that it is an APN design isn't even really on there in too prominent of a way.
Yeah.
There might be a little APN logo, or might say hashtag ArcPodNet on it or something like that.
Yeah.
But generally, you'd have to kind of hunt for it on some of those logos. It's some of those designs. Like, I think some of the ones that you gave us, they don't really have prominent APN display on them, you know. It's just something that we sell.
True.
So, but didn't you buy one of those shirts or something?
Yeah.
We showed that on the show, didn't we?
Oh, damn it.
I can't remember if we did.
I don't think we did.
Yeah, because I actually haven't seen that Beatles-style bottles shirt in real life, I don't think.
I probably should have gotten a hoodie, if this were like 3 months ago, I probably would have worn it, but you know, today I'm wearing a turtleneck, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah, Chuck says he unsubscribed for Christmas. And I understand, Chuck was one of our pro members, but Chuck's been with us for, I think, several years.
Yeah.
And like I said, Chuck, no worries there. Yeah. We'll always be here, so you know, come on back after Christmas.
Oh, my God. You know, I was telling someone up at Coffee Bar this the other week.
Yeah.
But I might have mentioned this like last year or the year before, but there's actually a pawn shop here in town that specializes in motorcycles. And the time of the year when most people come in to like temporarily put their motorcycles on for collateral is Christmas.
No, that makes sense.
And the crazy part is, if you really, I forget the name of it. It's like one of the chain stores around here, one of the chain pawn shops around here. But if you want a Harley for like $3,000 or $4,000, you know, it was crazy. When I first went there, I'm like, are these real prices? Like, are these stolen? He's like, these are real prices. They just, you know, they bought their Christmas gifts and just can't pay it back. So it's like, it's mine now.
Yeah, unfortunately, the holidays are probably a good time to get, you know, cheap stuff that people had to pawn and hawk to pay for their other things. So,
I wonder if they're going to be rad power bikes at any of these places.
I don't know. Hard to say. Eliza says, definitely you should have a shelf with some merch on the show. I know, unfortunately, Eliza, this is not our studio. I mean, I work here, but other people use this, so we'd have to bring in a whole bunch of stuff and display it. Plus, that means I have to buy all that stuff. I mean, I do have some things, but I don't have all the things.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I guess, do you still have the pillow?
I do have the pillow. In fact, one of them was sitting right outside the room here.
And now it's gone. Someone took it
upstairs.
Home.
I think it's upstairs. Anyway, that would be good. I try not to do like and this is probably why we don't sell enough, but I try not to do like crazy shameless promotion of our merch. I don't know. It feels dirty a little bit.
Bah.
I know. I'm not that kind of person, you know?
Hey.
Like, I'm not here just, hey, buy our stuff. I mean, I kind of want, it's ignorant of me to say this, but I kind of want people to just want to support the APN and then go find our stuff, because we do put ads for our TeePublic store on all the podcasts. Unless we have real advertising, which I will talk about in a second.
Ooh. Like SMU.
SFU.
SFU. FAU, yeah. Oh, damn it.
Well, and also on the CRM Arc podcast and likely a couple others, depending on our download numbers per month, starting as soon as they get me the file and as soon as they pay the invoice, the Register of Professional Archaeologists is advertising for the next, 6 months technically, but they bought 30,000 downloads.
Neat.
So they want to advertise their new RA position.
Yeah. Oh, neat.
With us. So that's cool.
Ha, let me guess. That equates to $40.
It's actually $1,500.
Really?
Yeah.
Woo.
So, but we're invoicing them monthly. And I want to point that out, because anyone can basically advertise on the APN. Mm. And right now, before I change my mind, right now our prices are 5 cents per download, but I think we're probably going to go to 20 soon. 20 cents. Just because looking at the number of advertising slots we have and the amount of money we want to make per month in order to be able to actually pay people full time.
Yeah.
Because I want to pay I want to pay an editor. I want to pay an advertising manager. I want to pay a like social media and marketing coordinator. Ooh. You know, those are all the big things that we need to pay for that help keep the APN sustainable.
Ooh.
You know, and in fact, it was kind of funny. I've never hired an intern before.
But you did now?
Well, not yet. I never hired an intern, and I've always been a little skeptical of interns because, first off, it seems to me like they can be flighty, and I want somebody that's going to stick around for a little while. But I also don't have any money to pay them. So, interns have to be paid in certain circumstances, and they don't have to be paid in other circumstances. It really just depends. There's a lot of regulations around it. But I walked into the Reno Collective here, and I asked somebody sitting there that I know has had interns in, before for her business, and I said, hey, you know, how did this work? Actually, what I was asking her was, I just wanted to pay her because I was like, you do marketing and stuff. Do you do advertising outreach? And she's like, no, I don't really do that. And I was like, okay, well, do you know anybody that does? And she's like, well, put up a job board posting on the UNR intern board. Yeah. And then she sent me the link. I put together the job posting, and that evening I got my first response.
You did?
And the first response was from somebody who currently works for the woman who gave me the the link. Because apparently she's scaling back her business in this little area a little bit. And the girl that works for her is going to be done on December 31st, technically, because she just can't pay her anymore.
Yeah.
Because she's scaling that part back. So.
Ah.
But anyway, I interviewed her on Friday.
Yeah.
We met up, and she's fantastic. She graduated from UNR with a degree, I think, in focusing on social media and marketing and things like that. And now she works at the Peppermill right now in their advertising side.
Really?
Yeah, very different thing because they basically hand her advertisers, and because it's almost the same advertisers all the time because they're long-term clients, and they just work on new promotions and new video graphics and new stuff to play. Because the Peppermill Casino here in Reno.
Yeah.
Has an obscene amount of screens inside that building.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of stuff on there and people advertising and doing all kinds of things. So anyway, I interviewed her, and I mean, I'll tell anybody this. If you want to work for the APN in a way that helps bring us money, like if you want to help be a membership coordinator or something like that, not only wrangle our members, but also help create new promotions and advertising to find new members.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that can bring us in money.
Oh.
And I'd be willing to give percentages on that. It's basically working on commission until we get to the point where we can actually pay a base salary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this person, if she says yes, I told her not to tell me on Friday. I said, go home and think about it.
Yeah.
And and I said, you know, we'll give you just to start, as long as we see if this works or not, I'll give her 30% of whatever she brings in.
Yeah.
You know, and we're looking at potentially bringing in about $6,000 or $7,000 a month if we sold all of our advertising slots.
Oh, seriously?
And 30% of that's a half decent salary.
Yeah.
You know, it's not too bad. So, but if we were actually bringing in that, I would also want to give her a base salary plus 30%, you know, because that's how sales works.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're trying to do our best to keep this going because I'm super busy. All our hosts are super busy. I just don't have the time anymore really to focus on editing and keeping this going. But I understand the usefulness and the need of the APN to exist.
Yeah.
And it's just it's really difficult. It's really difficult. So the only way we can bring in money. There's only three ways we can bring in money, and that's selling advertising, selling merchandise, and selling memberships.
Yeah.
It's either that or somebody donates us a bunch of money, but I'm not even sure. I mean, I would take that, of course, and use it to try to buy those positions that would get us to self-sustaining.
Yeah.
But being grant-funded or donor-funded is really hard because that's not sustainable.
That's true.
You know, we need something that's sustainable. And, and making advertising relationships with advertisers and other people who can consistently do this is the way to go. Plus, doing a special segment on the Sierra Mark podcast every time we broadcast. That's basically job postings. So I'm willing to do that too. We were talking about the pricing model behind that, and I want to work with R. Joe Brandon on Shovel Bones, but I haven't been able to get a hold of him to see if he could like upsell people and say, hey, yeah, here's your posting.
Yeah.
For an extra $50 or whatever it is, we'll give your posting to the Sierra Mark podcast, and then we can put it up there.
You know, I'm always amazed at how many people don't realize he gets paid for those.
Yeah, I mean, he's not doing it out of the kindness of his heart.
Well, because, you know, I was on a project, you know, in the Central Valley, and I was mentioning that, and they're like, he is? For what? And I'm like, are you kidding?
Yeah, for giving you your job.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, you know who some of the richest people in the world are?
Mm-hmm.
The people who created Craigslist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, which is, you know, obviously they don't believe in spending money if you look at that website.
Well, Craigslist is an interesting one, too, because I've listed lots of stuff on Craigslist, but there's no fees. So how do they make any money?
I don't really know, but I do know that they do.
Yeah, that's interesting because I've never paid a listing fee, whereas with eBay, I've got a $128 listing fee I've got to pay for last month.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, for that thing?
Yeah, for the drone I sold.
Ha!
Which the guy has requested a return on.
Wait, seriously?
He can't get it to work.
Why not?
I don't know. He's doing something wrong. I flew it just 2 weeks before I sent it to him. But he can't get it to, he can't get the radio to connect to the, to connect to the drone. I'm like, that is really not my problem. You know, it worked when I sent it to you. You can't send it back saying it's defective because you can't figure it out.
Oh, my God. You should also be super careful about that, by the way.
Yeah.
Because, what's it? You know, obviously, it's two different sorts of products. But I was reading a story where someone claimed that the product, you know, they basically boxed up their very expensive camera and sent it to the person. And the person, you know, wanted to return it and for a refund. And so she gave the refund. And when she got the box back, they had replaced her expensive camera with like a little point and shoot digital camera that was worth like zero. And, you know, and according to the police, there's no proof that she, you know, there was no proof that she sold it or, you know, anything like that. So they can't just like, you know, come get the camera back. So not only is she basically she's out double when you think about it, because she's out her camera and she gave back the money.
Right.
You know, so I'm always very leery of like eBay scams.
Right. Right.
Which I feel like I should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in this case, if he decided he wanted to process a return and get his money back, the money's already been processed out of my PayPal account.
Woo.
So there's no funds to hold. I would have to give the funds back. You know, which I could, but I won't because I'm not going to accept the return. I mean, it's just he needs to figure it out. I've sent him some pointers. I told him to call me. He refuses to call me. You know, drones are complicated. He says he owns like four or five DJI Inspires or has in the past and other DJI products. But he still can't figure this out. Now, it's always possible that it got damaged in transit.
That's true, too.
But I highly doubt it, given the case it was in.
Yeah.
You know, it should work and it should work fine.
See, that makes me double suspicious. Maybe
I know.
It makes me think that maybe he's going to package up one of the ones he broke and send it back.
Right. Well, that's like I said, if I open that box, if he does send it back and it's not exactly as I sent it, then he's not getting his money back. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
So, you know. Chris Webster here for the Archaeology Podcast Network. We strive for high-quality interviews and content so you can find information on any topic in archaeology from around the world. One way we do that is by recording interviews with our hosts and guests located in many parts of the world all at once. We do that through the use of Zencastr. That's Z-E-N-C-A-S-T-R. Zencastr allows us to record high-quality audio with no stress on the guest. Just send them a link to click on and that's it. Zencastr does the rest. They even do automatic transcriptions. Check out the link in the show notes for 30% off your first 3 months or go to zencastr.com and use the code TAS. Looking to expand your knowledge of x-rays and imaging in the archaeology field? Then check out An Introduction to Paleoradiography, a short online course offering professional training for archaeologists and affiliated disciplines. Created by archaeologist, radiographer, and lecturer James Elliott, the content of this course is based upon his research and teaching experience in higher education. It is approved by the Chartered Institute for Archaeologists as 4 hours of training. That's in the UK, for those of you that don't know. So don't miss out on this exciting opportunity for professional and personal development. For more information on pricing and course structure, visit paleoimaging.com. That's P-A-L-E-O imaging.com. And look for the link in the show notes to this episode.
Let's move on to another subject. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to circle back for a quick second to LinkedIn
because
I was updating my profile a bit, you know, adding a few things and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there are two things which I have to point out. A, when you, because some people, you know, LinkedIn has that thing where you just, like, you know, if you go, like right now, I'm looking at facebook.com/arcpodnet slash, and some people, they, don't take out this, like, you know, if they're LinkedIn, their LinkedIn, web address, they don't take out like the stock, you know, the stock, you know, the stock numbers and put in their own things.
Right, right.
Or alternatively, unfortunately, as much as I had to call you out on this, DigTech, like, the address is too long. It won't, for some weird reason, LinkedIn won't recognize its own LinkedIn.
How can it be too long? It doesn't have a limit on length, I didn't think.
Yeah, but when I tried to enter it into my, you know, into my LinkedIn profile, it said does not recognize.
You shouldn't have to add the... You're trying to link DigTech on LinkedIn to your LinkedIn profile. You shouldn't have to add the URL. You just type in DigTech.
Yeah.
And then it finds the company. Yeah. Try that.
All right, I'll try that.
Yeah, try that, because that's the way that works. I mean, I have DigTech on mine, so I know it works.
Yeah. Oh, do you? Oh, good.
Well, of course.
Interesting. My company. But also, one other thing I didn't want, you can totally tell when a company has not optimized its website. Because, like, sometimes, you know, you need a photo on your front page. Otherwise, it comes. Otherwise, when you try to put the URL into LinkedIn or something else, it just comes up as blank.
Yeah.
And some companies, not only does it come up as blank, but other ones, the photos have no captions or no descriptions. So it's just like, you know, it's just
you like logos and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you know, because a lot of the better ones, like Far Western, a few of the other ones I entered, you know, they have the title and then they have a little description. We are Far Western, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Well,
some of that stuff you got to set up through LinkedIn if you're connecting through there.
Yeah.
You have to have a LinkedIn company page and then link through there. I don't even think I've optimized any of my LinkedIn company pages, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just hasn't really occurred to me to do that.
Yeah.
I should probably go look at that. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But
interesting. I want to say that's it. Probably other things, but I don't even know if it's a good idea to add, like, you know, I didn't know if it was a good idea because I haven't seen anyone else doing that for their profile, adding like links back to these various companies I work for.
Well, when you enter a previous job experience, if you try to type in the name of the company and they have a LinkedIn page, it will come up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've seen lots of people do that.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, you work for them.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to enter somebody in that you flamed out and raged quit with, then don't do that. But,
I haven't done that.
Yeah, I have, because I don't care. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Hopefully those companies are no longer around, even though we know they are.
Well, at least one of them I know is around still. So
also the new Chambers logo, I don't even like it. I was looking at it, I did not understand the logo, but it's very nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think I've noticed the new Chambers
something
logo.
It's something for their 40th anniversary or something.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like,
yeah,
why do you spend like they redesigned the logo twice when we were there.
Right.
And I'm like, my God, like, unless your wife is a graphic designer, you really shouldn't be spending money on that. I feel like, unless I'm wrong,
I don't know. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
How many times has Far Western redesigned its logo?
Yeah, probably never.
See? Yeah,
companies like to rebrand, though. It gives them an excuse to, pump social media with a bunch of stuff again. So, when they get the new logo. But depending on the size of your company, a new logo could be super expensive because it's on all your vehicles and stationery and all that other stuff. So, you got to change it all around. Especially when, like, companies get bought.
Yeah.
I mean, they just get bought and sold left and right at some at these levels, and then they got to change everything. I can't imagine the cost of doing that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, but. You know. I feel like I should move on to stuff that, stuff you should do over your winter break.
Sure.
Because I feel like I haven't been on a winter break. Well, actually, I haven't been on a winter break in years. Like many years. Like a surprising amount of years. And the biggest difference I have tried is to... basically do a to-do list or like improve the way I do a to-do list. Let me walk you through what I used to do. Before, you know, in the old, really olden days, I just used to have a notebook and just write stuff down, just like, you know, whatever. And then I moved on to Google Keep and realized it didn't keep me on task and that I couldn't figure out what I was doing on each day. And so this past week, I've been fooling around with Google Calendar and the various sorts of to-do apps that, you know, that exist on the Android store. And they're all terrible. They're all terrible. Like the one non-Android one I used that got 4.5 stars. Picture this. You've got a to-do list and it lets you enter stuff for today. It lets you enter stuff for tomorrow. But that's it. And then it just immediately goes to someday.
Someday.
Yeah. And the thing is, it does not... It'll download stuff in your Google Calendar, but it won't send stuff back.
Right.
Which is useless because it's like, you know, I obviously spend a lot of time looking at my computer. And the Google Task app, which is like their app, you know, for which is a really stupid separate app for doing tasks. It has features that don't show up on your damn calendar.
Right.
So, for instance, I can make a task, and then I can subdivide that task according to groups. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I've got my regular life stuff. I've got the stuff for my YouTube channel. I've got stuff for, like, archaeology work stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That distinction does not show up on your desktop Google Calendar.
Hmm.
And you can add subtasks to each individual task, but those tasks don't show up on your damn calendar either.
Right. Well, tasks and calendar appointments are two different things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it depends on how you're using your calendar too. Like, for example, my calendar, if it's not on my calendar, then it doesn't exist. It's something I've done, right?
See?
That being said, I created a special Trello board in my Trello account called my master to-do list. And yeah. I have, you know, dozens of Trello boards and things I'm doing on all of them.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, and usually I'll just copy the card to my master to-do list and then link them together. So when I do one to one, it does it to the other two. And the nice thing is, you were saying this to-do app had like today, tomorrow, and then someday.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. I actually do a very similar thing to my own tasks. I have today, I have this week, and then I have just stuff that needs to be done.
Yeah.
If it has to be done today, then it goes on I drag it to my today list. If it has to be done this week, then I drag it to my this week list. But almost everything else is just stuff that I want to do, and I want to get it out of my brain and stick it right there in the to-do list. So I've seen a lot of language around you know, to-do list support and stuff like that. And if you try to schedule out too far, you end up with the same problem that got you there to begin with, which is there's too much to do and you're not doing any of it.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? I mean, that's what most people have a problem with. So rather than saying planning out your entire week and then the minute Monday's over and you failed because you didn't get everything done on Monday, so you move some stuff to Tuesday.
Yeah.
Now Tuesday's overstacked and you're going to move half of that to Wednesday.
Yeah.
Now Wednesday's overstacked and you're going to move half of that to Friday because it's already full. It demotivates you to get anything done.
Does it?
It does some people, you know, and that's why. And if you have a lot of stuff to do and you have a lot of stuff on that list, it can easily demotivate you to get stuff done. So
interesting.
A lot of people will just do, okay, here's what I need to do today. And what I can't do today, I'm going to shift over to tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to pull, if I have space in tomorrow, I'm going to pull stuff from my someday list over into tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? Now, if you have stuff that has a time frame, well, that just goes in your calendar.
Oh,
you know?
Interesting. Huh. We'll definitely look that up.
Yeah. What's that?
And a to-do app called Done. Hopefully it's not iOS only.
Oh, that's what Eliza said, yeah.
Oh, you know, and now one reason I mentioned the do apps is because it really jump-started my YouTube channel again.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's the reason why I remember to do all this stuff, because normally I just do stuff as I remember them, but which means that stuff that, like, I don't necessarily, isn't necessarily in front of me, like my YouTube channel stuff, doesn't get done. And, like, it also reminded me not to do anything today other than this.
Yeah. Nice.
Unless you count me biking. I think I might bike down to the river and try that burger place again, even though I was not very impressed with it the first time.
Which burger place?
Burger I Am.
I've been there several times. I love it.
It depends. I think I might have gotten the wrong thing to begin with.
You get their little mini burger pack and you can try three different ones.
Yeah. I don't think I tried that. I think I tried one of the regular burgers.
Yeah.
I did like the fact that they have tater tots, but it kind of reminded me of going to Sonic.
Yeah. I haven't had the tots. I always get the little fries.
Oh, perfect. Hang on. Hopefully I can like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and she said it's Android. Well, it's interesting trying to think about, because I've had this problem for a long time, trying to figure out, and I think I've got it dialed in for myself, you know, trying to think about what I'm going to put on a to-do list, no matter what that list is, and what I'm putting on my calendar, because they're very different things.
Yeah.
My to-do list is just things I need to do. Yeah. And usually my workflow is, I have a lot of things that get booked on my calendar automatically, like recurring appointments that are weekly or clients or potential clients or people that, you know, schedule something with me through one of my calendar links.
Yeah.
It'll just appear there and I'm like, okay, that's what I'm doing today. It's almost like a personal assistant, except I don't have a personal assistant, which I would love, but can't afford.
Siri?
I can't pay. Yeah, that's not a good personal assistant. I can't pay a personal assistant on commission because there's no way to do that. Anyway.
Oh, before I forget, I've been watching a lot of car review videos.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things that all manufacturers trying to integrate into their cars are like either Alexa or their own internal app or Google or, you know, mm-hmm. Google integration. And it's crazy the number of times that those personal assistants will jump into a review and then the reviewers say, shut up, I don't need you. Like literally, like I forgot. I don't know if you watched The Smoking Tire with Matt Farah, but I think he was either driving. I want to say he was driving a Mercedes and Mercedes just kept jumping in. He's like, shut up, Mercedes. Nice. I don't want to talk to you. Like 20 times, like the whole video. I'm like, wow. Like, oh my God, I cannot imagine driving in a car and having it constantly, wow. It's like, that would probably be the first thing I turn off.
Yeah, probably.
I have to say.
Yeah.
That and auto start stop.
Well, chances are you're not going to be doing a review about the system all the time. And when you do say it by invoking the special words, that you're going to need it.
Well, the thing is, I would probably change the special word to something something obscure, something I wouldn't just throw into normal conversation.
Right. It's interesting seeing the cars coming with the voice activated ones because I like the one on my truck. When I put the new stereo in and I have I have my phone hooked up through CarPlay, the normal voice activation button for my old nav system on my truck is now Siri.
Ooh.
So I don't have to say the words. I just push the button and it comes up and I can speak what I need it to do.
See, that makes a lot more sense than just having the system listen to you.
Yeah.
At least to me personally.
Yeah. But anyway, back to to-do apps. Again, my workflow is to just have everything I need to do, regardless of the time frame.
Yeah.
If it's a task I need to get done, then I put it in my master to-do list, and then I sort it as necessary into either today, tomorrow, or just the list of things I need to do. And when I wake up in the morning, one of the first things I do is I look at my calendar, and I see where the holes are, because most of my calendar scheduling links won't allow you to schedule the same day. There's usually an 8 or 12 hour time requirement, like it has to be beyond that time frame. It's to prevent people from scheduling like 5 minutes from now and I don't see it, right? If there's a hole in my calendar.
Yeah.
But then that wouldn't really happen to me anyway, because what I do in the morning is I look where all my holes are, and some days I've got all holes, you know, no appointments. And then some days I'm just super busy. Like Mondays are crazy busy for me, and so are Wednesdays. But anywhere where there's a hole, I then look at my to-do list and I say, okay, I've got to get this done and this done and this done. I'm going to slot those in here. I'm going to work on this and this and this. And I fill up my calendar. I make sure my calendar is full from about 7 a.m. until usually 5 or 6 p.m.
Wow.
And then I'll usually do stuff later on at night after dinner and just sitting there. But that's just like bonus time. And and like today, you know, I've just been working all morning today.
Oh, really?
And
I guess I have too.
I'm never not working on something, Richie.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people just sit there and like stare at the TV. Honestly, I mean, don't get me wrong. We're watching TV. Like I was watching, we've been catching up on the last few episodes of that For All Mankind show that's on Apple TV right now.
Yeah.
Fantastic show about whether if the space program had continued past Apollo and continued the Apollo missions and continued the space race with the Russians. I mean, it's just a fantastic show.
Oh, wait. Are you going to be one of those thousands of millions of people who are either going to be talking about Watchmen or The Mandalorian?
We don't have Disney Plus yet, although we're going to have access to it soon because a friend of ours who uses our HBO login, we've had her Stars login, and she's getting rid of that and going to get it Disney Plus, and my wife wants the login. So I'm sure we will, but I don't talk about it. And we haven't watched The Watchmen yet. So
really?
Just haven't gone around to it.
Yeah.
It'll be there forever, so we'll watch it then.
Oh, speaking of like always doing something, I was basically up till 5 a.m. trying to sort out audio issues. And I mentioned that part of it to you, but part of it, the large part of it, was actually trying to get OBS to sync my video and my audio.
Yeah.
And so to do that, I ran out of stuff to make up, you know, just like I was, because obviously the drift obviously doesn't start at the beginning. It starts, you only notice it a minute or two in.
Yeah.
So I needed something to like read. So I just kept repeating the Gettysburg Address over and over into OBS.
Wow.
Yeah.
Must have been fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, I didn't really care. It was just like something to read. And it was also a way to work on my like script reading.
How did you just have the Gettysburg Address available?
Oh,
did you just choose to look that up?
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Nice.
You know, because, you know, OBS is one screen and then I have, you know, Google Chrome open on my other screen.
Right.
But the thing is, I felt bad for my neighbors because I feel like, man, they must have thought I was insane just constantly repeating.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what they thought.
It's also interesting, you know, last night before I was working on the audio issues, I was also working on lighting issues. Like, It's my living room is slowly being turned into a studio. One step at a time, because at first I put up the lights permanently and they're still there, and I actually added another light. And then today, like last week, I actually added a boom pole. You know, this is all stuff I had laying around. I just like didn't think of ways to put them in places where I could just keep them up. So now my audio is permanently set up. And now I just need to figure out a way to get my camera permanently set up, so that way I don't have to like keep taking out the big tripod and putting it down and like stuff like that. Because I have to admit, that actually, like, when you don't have to think about setting stuff up, it really boosts, like, how quickly, like, I did a review video in, like, less than an hour, like, from start to finish. And, like, 20,000 takes, because, you know, I'm still a little rusty. In fact, it was interesting. I was watching videos of me when the first time I, like, had this burst of inspiration to do YouTube, but it was, like, you know, a big hassle, and so I didn't necessarily keep it up. Well, the thing is, it's like, wow, it's a lot better than I am now. I like need more practice. That's probably why I read the Gettysburg Address so much last night, just to get. And I was also toying around with the idea of getting a teleprompter.
I mean, just use a tablet.
Well, that's the thing, like a teleprompter that works with a tablet.
Yeah. I mean, the actual teleprompter systems, where you put the tablet in, you shoot the camera through it.
Yeah.
Those are not super cheap. A few hundred bucks.
Yeah.
But we used, when I was doing PCS videos, we used just an iPad, and somebody would hold it under the camera. And as long as you're far enough away, you can, because the camera would zoom in. And as long as you're far enough away, the camera and the teleprompter, if it's close enough to the camera, are, for all intents and purposes, in the same location. You know, so, but you have to be close enough to where the person can actually read the teleprompter.
See?
And if you're outside and so that, like a windy condition or something like that, you have to move it manually because it can't really hear you. Because we didn't have the mic plugged into the teleprompter.
Yeah.
If we'd had like a mixer or something out there, we could have plugged the mic into the normal recording device and then out into the teleprompter so we could hear the person, because it does move with your voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, most teleprompter apps do that.
Although the free app, I use an Android, just has like a speed setting, which I find very handy.
Oh, so it just rolls?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's good if you can keep it that speed. But sometimes if you're going to ad lib or do something else, you know. You may have heard my pitch for membership. It's a great idea and really helps out. However, you can also support us by picking up a fun t-shirt, sticker, or something from a large selection of items from our Tee Public store. Head over to arcpodnet.com/shop for a link. That's arcpodnet.com/shop to pick up some fun swag and support the show.
Oh, speaking of organizing, you know, it's really bumped up. Like the other, like the first thing that bumped up my production was the to-do apps, for various to-do apps. But the other thing is creating a spreadsheet of everything that's like in production, needs to be edited, is already needs to be uploaded, and like, you know, stuff like that.
That's what I use Trello for.
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, originally I was going to use Trello, but then I realized, you know, but then I basically just started on, you know, Google Sheets.
Right. Right.
It's amazing. All this, you can actually. Google Sheets is more powerful than I thought. It's like a lot more esoteric, like, you know, a lot of stuff that's like really obvious and easy to do on I forget the Microsoft one.
Excel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's just, I've been using Google Sheets so much.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like little things that people didn't realize are built into the app.
Like what?
Like let's see, you can freeze rows so that way as you're scrolling down, it just like keeps the name of each individual row.
You can freeze columns too.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you can also like, you know, it's like really obvious, but you can combine columns. So that's what I did for like upload schedule. I just created like, you know, 4 rows for each week, and then I froze, you know, I combined columns on like the first row. Wait, nice. The first column? Yeah, the first column.
Yeah.
For the month and then the week. Stuff like that.
Nice.
And I only figured that out, by the way, because I was playing around with the templates they have, which, you know, I had never done before.
Nice. Yeah. Well, playing with templates is an easy way to learn software.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I had, which apparently I did not know until recently.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
It's also interesting because, you know, the reason I started using, you know, Sheets for that particular purpose was because I was updating my all my various job spreadsheets. Okay. Oh, my God. I've got so many spreadsheets going. It's, you know, it's interesting, you know, looking at how many, like, it's interesting realizing how long it's been since I had to update those things. Because obviously they tell you the last time they were open. It's like, not open in 2 years. And I'm like, wow, that's how long, how long I haven't really needed to look for a job.
Yeah.
And now I've got to start up again, sort of.
Yeah.
You know, obviously for certain purposes, which will shall remain unnamed, I do have to send out the occasional CRM archaeology resume. But mm-hmm. I've also been looking around for regular jobs. And it's interesting you mentioned your social media coordinator, because I actually did apply for a job like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For a place that you would not imagine would need one.
Are you willing to say the name?
Yeah. PortaSubs.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't they need a... like, was that social media marketing or advertising or what?
Yeah, like social media coordinator. I'm like, that's so weird.
They have a social media accounts.
They do? They?
Well, of course they do.
And you know...
I was followed on my Instagram account by Sonic of Sparks. Sonic Drive-In in Sparks, Nevada. Specifically.
Wait, they have a drive-in? Do they have a Sonic there?
Yeah, there's one way up on the north end up by that Costco.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, because I remember it. Because, like, isn't there also one on McCarran?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, because I could have sworn there's one up in McCarran near the Clear Acre exit. Not that anyone outside of Reno would know this.
Anyway, everybody has a social media account. And if you don't, you probably should. And if you do, you need someone to coordinate it. You know? And I'd be willing to give you the advertising manager position at the APM, but you got to be able to work on commission.
I actually wouldn't mind that.
Yeah. Well, we've got lots of stuff to do. We should have a talk.
Yeah. But what else? The thing that I wanted to mention, though, is the fact that the website that mm-hmm. I applied through it actually gave me an on-the-spot test to test my social media knowledge.
Wow.
Which was really interesting.
Did it tell you how you did?
No, unfortunately.
And just take the test and it shuts down and says...
Yeah, and the thing is, to make sure you didn't cheat, there was a 30 seconds for each question. I'm like, oh my God. And that's the reason why I generally don't do well under those conditions. So I feel like I might have done all right.
Right.
But thing is, can you imagine, like, say, you know, say, like, ARC Fieldwork really wanted to bump up, like, you know, really wanted to bump up, like, what they did. Mm-hmm. You know, because obviously you can submit resumes there, but what if happens if you submit a resume and then ARC Fieldwork had like a little test?
Right, right.
You know, I mean, aren't you thinking about something like that for Team Black?
Yes, we are. But that's just for, that's really just knowledge tests for certification.
Yeah.
You know, but that being said, if anybody still is listening to this, I see seven people on there, six or
Same
seven,
here.
It kind of keeps moving around.
Yeah.
You know, as we move forward into the new era for the RPA of the RA, and we talked about this last time, I think, I really want to know, because I have lists of courses that need to go up on Team Black that I just don't have time to do, and I need to get off my ass and get them done. But it's, you know, what do people want to learn? You know, if you got to take it, if you're going to get the new RA or maintain your RPA, you got to do 8 hours a year of continuing education credits. And it's got to be
which includes conference attendance, by the way.
It does. RPA certified conferences.
Oh.
So you can't just go to like a bunch of local ones unless they're RPA certified.
Damn it. Seriously? Yeah.
At least that's the thought. It has to be something that the RPA has vetted and they see as a worthy conference. You can't, like, I'm going to a podcast conference in March. It can't be that.
Oh. You know, but so will like the SCAs count, maybe?
The SCAs probably will, but I don't know. I know the Big Four will count, the ones that are partnering organizations with the RPA, like SAA, SAJ, the AIA conference, and the AAA.
Although, you know, it's a good excuse to go to Austin this year. Is it Austin this year?
Yeah. So, anyway, it's important to... you know, figure out, well, how am I going to get this 8 hours? And one conference would do it. So if you're going to go to a conference, that's good enough. But if you're not going to go to a conference, then you've got to get it in other ways. And I'm trying to think, what are the best things to get up there early on? Everybody always says report writing stuff, blah, blah. We have a report writing webinar up there now, taught by Dr. Alan Garfinkel Gold.
Yeah.
It's really great. It's like an hour long, and it's an amazing resource on report writing. So,
oh, my God, I just had a thought and inspiration. The RPA should talk to these various conferences that they've vetted to see if that they'll allow like either recording or live streaming that would only be available to RPA members.
That's a tough sell because we've talked to them about that stuff before.
Yeah, because
AAA,
you know,
might do it, but SAA is a monster.
See, that's the thing, like, you know, because that would, you know, that would open up their conferences to so many more people, and more importantly, if it was went through the RPA and you had to be an RPA member or an RA to like do it, you know, you could ensure that that confidential info didn't get out,
right?
You know,
yeah. Well, it would take infrastructure too, because they would need special put it behind paywalls on websites.
Yeah.
You know, if it was available to certain people only, which is not hard. All these have a login screen.
Yeah.
If you just put it behind the login screen, you know, you could do that.
You know, plus it would probably drive traffic to the RPA website.
Yeah, yeah, which is not useful for much these days. I mean, you really don't need to go there unless you're making a complaint or something.
True.
So,
oh.
Yeah, or you're looking for an RPA. Yeah. In fact, I have to renew my membership before the end of the year. last time I get to do it without continuing education credits. I think these go into effect in 2020.
Wow.
If I was not mistaken.
So basically 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, by the end of the year.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't have to do them right away. You have
to do them every year. Yeah, but I mean, if they go into effect in like 2020, that's 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, true. And honestly, I don't remember when they go into effect. It might not be 2020. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
We got anything else? I've put up the end screen, so.
Oh, I know I'm going to think of something as soon as I leave.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that, interesting. You want to remind me what, well, whatever.
Okay.
Wait. Are you going to see the new was it The Last Skywalker?
Probably at some point. We haven't been able to go to a movie in months. Just haven't had the time. So, I don't know. When's that come out? 20th or something?
Yeah, Friday.
We're going to be in North Carolina for like a week and a half with family. I'm sure we'll go see it then.
Ooh.
So,
yeah. Oh, that reminds me. It's Christmas. So this will be like probably like what, the last one of the year, unless you're depending when you come back.
Well, we leave Monday. I was going to ask you, for anybody that cares about this part of the conversation, if you're going to be around next Sunday, because I will be here recording with a client at around 12:30.
Oh,
and then I've got the Sierra Mark podcast at 2.
Wait a second.
Then I'm recording.
Let's go see. So you mean
the 22nd?
Oh, a 22nd. Yeah, I'll be here.
Yeah, and then I was planning on doing this show after Sierra Mark, like normal.
Perfect.
So, as long as you're going to be here. So, that will be the last one of 2019, unless you can figure out how to do it remotely, because I'll have all my equipment with me.
Oh.
If we can do like some sort of split screen remote thing with OBS and then pump that into Facebook Live or something.
Oh, we totally could. Obviously, by then, I'll be Facebook, I'll be YouTube vetted.
Well, yeah, that's why we'd have to do this through, we'd have to do the split through OBS and then pump it out to our individual sources.
Interesting. Yeah. I bet we could. I bet I could just open up 2 screens.
Well, if we weren't so cheap, we could buy the pro version of OBS. And then can't you like simultaneously send it through? Somebody's hitting us hard with the emojis. I appreciate that. Although some of them are like hate emojis.
They are?
I think somebody just hit a bunch of emojis. Anyway, I think you can stream to multiple sources out of OBS if you get like a pro version or something like that.
Yeah.
Simultaneously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Although with the new attachment I downloaded, it may be the sort of thing where, it may be the sort of thing where now it I can that's basically free. We'll see.
Okay.
Interesting. I wonder, maybe we should play around with OBS this week for my desktop.
Hey, let's do it.
Yeah.
Either way. This is off this, and Carl Fegans just said LOL .. RPA. I hear you, Carl Fegans. hey, Carl, if you're going to be at the SHA, hit me up in the tech room. I'll be there with WildNote.
Well, the thing is, you know, in order to become a serious organization, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I'm hoping to talk to the new president that's starting at the SHA. I talked to Chris Doerr, the current president whose term ends on December 31st.
Oh, really?
And then the new president picks up on January 1st, and the new president... he didn't tell me. Chris was like, I've been going to like 7 conferences a year for like the past 4 years.
Yeah.
Because of the RPA. And he's like, I need a break, which I totally understand.
Wow.
So he might not be at the SHA, but he might be taking a new role with them that would cause him to go there.
Neat.
So either way, I'm going to interview either him or the new president. And I can't remember who the new president's name is, but we'll find out. So I'm going to interview him for sure, though, because I'm only working the conference on Thursday and Friday, and I have all Saturday in Boston to just do stuff. So I'm just going to chill out and
Ooh, are you
interview
gonna see,
people.
You going to see the Constitution or anything?
I don't know if I'll have time to go around Boston, especially in the wintertime. I'd like to go see a few things, but my focus there is the conference. So I just don't know if I'll have time, though.
Interesting.
Anyway,
is that the sort of conference that usually has field trips?
I think they all do.
Do they? Oh, good. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Let me take a look at my calendar real quick, because if anybody's going to be there, I thought I planned in a day just for some interesting stuff. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Actually, I totally did. Because of the way flying works, I fly there on Tuesday the 7th, and Wednesday is basically, because I couldn't get there early enough to set up in the tech room.
Yeah.
So Wednesday is basically kind of like a free day.
Yeah.
So I think I'll have Wednesday just to hang out, and then the Thursday and Friday will be the tech room, and then Saturday will be a hangout day.
Oh, interesting. Before I forget.
Sunday I fly home.
Before I forget, is there anything new with WildNote you want to pump before you go?
Yes, actually.
Wait, there is?
Yeah. Well, we have some cool shit coming down the road with WildNote. Let me tell you that right now, because I was just reviewing with the team a couple days ago, and I don't think it's something I can't talk about. I wouldn't see why not.
Oh, wait, GIS way. Integration finally?
No, well, that's not really, although GeoDatabase Export is coming for everybody soon.
Yay.
Which is kind of a GIS integration. It's better than what we have now. But anyway, the thing is statuses on individual records. Five different statuses that you can mark on a record, like draft, reviewed, exported, rejected, stuff like that. So they'll have a base status, which we're figuring out right now.
Yeah.
And then you can change the status. And I think certain people would have the ability to change the status and others wouldn't, as you know, depending on the status.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. And that's a long time coming.
Oh, interesting. So I was going to say, if your office was a sort of, or like your company, was a sort of company that had like a, editing department.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's starting like draft.
Yeah.
And then it can go to the reviewed stage.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Interesting.
And then the other thing is, something I just released into the library last week on Friday, I think.
Yeah.
Was the brand new version 7 of the California DPR forms. And what version 7 does is brings all the DPR versions together because they've had changes separately. And so some of them were at like 5, some were at 3, some were at 4.
I know that.
Well, just to make sure, so everybody knows that they're getting the most current version, we jacked everything up to 7 to make this new release. But one of the bigger things that we did for the changes, aside from fixing some, there's always some spelling errors or something. We've corrected those on the input side. There hasn't been any that I've seen on the export side. But on like the WildNote side, there's been some, you know, handful of errors, and we added in a lot more helper text. We added in some extra functionality in the continuation forms, which means before, the good example is the linear form. So you can have multiple linear feature forms. And if you had more than one, and let's say L3A is the description block on the linear feature form, right? If that exceeded its continuation character, its character limit, then it goes to the continuation form and it just says L3A description and then it says dot, dot, dot continued and then it gives you the
Continuation. You don't have to, that just does it automatically?
Yeah, it does it automatically.
Oh,
but
wow.
But the problem in the past is if you had more than one, say, linear feature form, it would say L3A description and then do all the other ones from that form and then go right back into L3A description and not tell you which linear feature form it's a part of.
Ooh.
But now, all the forms that go to the continuation form, whether it's primary, the BSO, the ARC form, whatever it is, it says the name of the form first.
Yeah.
And then it says whatever identifying piece of information, if there is one. Like, for example, RockArt and the linear feature form, they have feature numbers on them. RockArt has like panel panel number, stuff like that. So it'll say that first. Yeah. So then you know which one you're talking about when you see the continuation form. Anyway, the other big thing that we added was what I call three-part ARC. And I want to add multiple parts to some of the other forms, but the ARC form seemed like the most obvious one to do first.
Yeah.
What that means is when you're out there recording a site, if you're by yourself, you're just going to use the normal ARC form, right? If you're just recording a solo. And there's a lot of people in California that record solo. I do it all the time. Yeah. You've done it a lot.
Yeah.
But if you're with a team, the problem with the archaeology form is not only does it have the site information and age and site data and stuff like environmental information, but it also has cultural constituents, so artifacts, and it also has features. We had to break that up because a lot of times one person will be doing artifacts, another person will be doing features, and somebody else will be doing the other stuff. So I broke the ARC form up into, you have the option of doing the solo form or C1, C2, and C3, which is the three-part ARC form. And if you do the three parts, if you do one of the three parts, you have to commit to the three-part format, right? But then once you export, it all comes together in the normal ARC form.
Ooh.
So it's pretty sweet.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, so. I was thinking about this morning when I was taking a shower. There's no reason for a company to use digital cameras anymore now that you can just download stuff over your USB-C.
Yeah.
From your phone.
Yeah.
I was only thinking about that because, like, that's how, you know, I've been obviously taking a lot of photos on my phone, or not a lot of video footage on my phone. And the my NAS app, you know, is like, it's really old. It just doesn't work that great. So I've just been downloading it. I've been downloading it to my computer and then from my computer up to there.
Well, and then WildNote allows you to rename and download all your photos right in the app, too.
Yeah.
You know, the web app.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's also what takes it such a long time to sync.
Well, if you're taking a lot of photos, it's going to take a while to go back up. Yeah. So, but that's another kind of pro tip with WildNote too. If you're out in the field and you want to get the stuff off your device, you don't do a project sync. You do an individual form sync using the little arrows next to the record, because a project sync is two-way. So it's not only going to send information back, but it's going to call back any information that was also sent up that you don't have, which takes a lot of data if there's a lot of photos and things like that. So you do your one-way sync, and if you don't need information back from the server, you do a one-way sync and just send them out individually. But real quick, that also, you can also affect what comes back to you by going into your project settings and on the info screen for that project, changing your survey sync limit number. So you can jack that down to like 10. So only the most recent 10 surveys come back to you from the server.
That's actually really handy.
Yeah.
You know what would be handier though? Is if you hit sync and it asked you, it asked for a confirmation.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I've like, you know, sometimes I'm walking around with my phone in my hand and suddenly I just accidentally, you know, just like brush sync. And then it suddenly I'm like there, standing there for a few minutes like, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, and if you're not a good cell condition, it's going to crash.
That too. That's happened a whole lot to me. And I'm like, God damn it.
Almost the best way to deal with that, to be honest, is to just force kill your app, because you're not going to lose the data. You've already saved it if you're on that screen, so it's saved within the app. So just force kill the app and then bring it back on.
Yeah, but still, it wouldn't be as handy as just having a confirmation.
I hear you, but that's harder to do. I've requested it many times.
I have? Yeah. Oh, damn it.
And not only that, but like a sync bar to show you the progress so you know something's actually happening.
Yes.
Yeah, those are really hard to do because it's hard to quantify that graphically so somebody can see that. It's not insurmountable. People do it.
Yeah.
It's just not something we've focused on yet. So, but WildNote's gotten a lot of investment funds in the last couple months.
Ooh.
And a lot of things are going to be improving very rapidly now rather than the slower pace that they have been improving.
Oh, interesting. Is she still at that course thingy?
It's done.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Wow, that was quick.
Well, it's 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, so... but we got some good investment off of that, and
cool.
You know, I don't think it's not, none of it's real until the money's in the bank. And I don't know if it is or not, cause that's not my level, but all I know is, in 2020 is going to be a banner year for WildNote, and jump on the bandwagon now, because we're going to be adding features and more than likely the price is going to go up. So, but it's going to get way more functional as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, before I forget, they still have a social media coordinator, right? Because I feel like I follow them on Instagram. I haven't seen anything lately.
Yeah, we've got Anita. I don't know how much she puts on Instagram, but she's pumping through LinkedIn and some stuff on Facebook too.
Interesting.
So,
all right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's go for now. Thanks for listening, all of you that listened live. I'm also running this on the Archaeology Show, so thanks for listening there.
Yeah.
And please go check out our merch over at the Tee Public Store. If you go to arcpodnet.com/shop, you'll link over to the store from there.
Yeah, you should be seeing it on the screen now.
Actually, you're not controlling the screen anymore.
Oh.
So, no, we can't see it on the screen right now.
Oh, we can't?
Oh, the address, you mean. I thought you brought the page up.
No.
Yes. Archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/shop or arcpodnet.com/shop.
Oh, I can change that too later.
Yeah. So, anyway, check that out. Thanks for the likes, Eliza. And please become a member if you want to. If you don't want to do the $5 a month, I think it's $42 or $38 or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the price is. Whatever 30% off 60 is, which I think is $42. Anyway, if you do a one-time thing, I'll still send you a card and a sticker and a handwritten note, and you can just support us for the whole entire year. And you don't have to worry about that $5 coming out every month.
Interesting.
And you save some money, Chuck. So, Chuck, when the forest comes back online and you're working solid and we don't have Christmas to worry about, instead of coming back in as a monthly $20 subscriber, see if you can't swing the whole year, and then you save 30% and you paid up for the year.
Oh, at what level do you get a tote bag or a mug?
Mugs are kind of going out because I haven't bought any more.
Oh.
But it's whatever swag I happen to have on hand is what you're going to get. But you're getting around 40 at the professional level.
Yeah.
You're getting around probably $40 or $50 worth of things.
Ooh.
Because you're getting all the APN stickers, which is about a $30 value on its own. And then you're getting at least a shirt, sometimes a notebook, a tote bag, whatever I have. And I'll get more stuff as time goes on. But you're getting what I have. I'm just trying to put in like a value into the box of APN swag.
Yeah.
And then go from there.
Oh,
so
damn it. Now
we need to go.
I know. I always think of stuff at the end, but whatever. Yes.
That's why we should take notes before this show.
I know.
All right. Well, thanks again, everyone, for joining us. And
And we'll be back on the YouTube side, like, you know, as soon as like the next podcast
in a week.
Yes.
Hopefully. And hopefully you test it before 3:30 on Sunday next week.
Well, it's never asked for a verification before.
I know. I hear you. So, all right. Again, thanks a lot, everybody. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the Archaeology Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. You can provide feedback using the contact button on the right side of the website at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/archaeology. Or you can email Chris at archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Please like and share the show wherever you saw it so more people can have a chance to listen and learn. Send us show suggestions and follow ArcPodNet on Twitter and Instagram. This show is produced by the Archaeology Podcast Network. Opinions are solely those of the hosts and guests of the show. However, the APN stands by their hosts. Special thanks to the band Sea Hero for letting us use their song, I Wish You'd Look. Check out their albums on Bandcamp at seahero.bandcamp.com. Check out our next episode in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, keep learning, keep discovering new things, and keep listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network. Have an awesome day. This show is produced and recorded by the Archaeology Podcast Network, Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle, in Reno, Nevada, at the Reno Collective.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
Thanks again for listening to this episode and for supporting the Archaeology Podcast Network. If you want these shows to keep going, consider becoming a member for just $7.99 US dollars a month. That's cheaper than a venti quad eggnog latte. Go to archpodnet.com/members for more info.